Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Insulation. My name is Louis Medes. This is the big match preview as we gear up for Good Friday's trip down to Exeter City. It's a Friday game, which is why we're on a day early on Wednesday evening as we return from the international break. Joining us to look ahead to that game, and well, the man who won't hear a word uttered about the international break, Tom Wallin. How you doing, Tom?
I tried to forget about it until he mentioned it just then.
But looking forward to a summer off, at least, I guess.
Put your feet up for a little while. Yeah. Let's just get it all out of the way. But yeah, tough. I was actually at the England game last night as well. But yeah, tough game for Wales last night, sadly.
Well, at least that ended nicely.
Yeah, we have the joys of Charlton being back on in our lives again this weekend, so that's good. Yeah.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, we knew for a long time that Charlton weren't going to be competing at the European Championship, so that didn't come as a surprise. Also on the bottom of the screen there is Joe Puddyfoot. How are you doing, Joe?
Yeah, very good. Thank you very much. Looking forward to having some football back and, you know, international break. We did all right, I suppose, but still missed the proper football. It's just just a holiday away from the proper stuff.
Certainly is. Well, we'll have a look back at the international break. Anyway, we'll hear what Nathan Jones filled his time with. Talk about a couple of Charlton players who were involved in that international break as well. We're going to look at the season ticket prices later on in today's show. They've come out. Just discuss a little bit about that and the fact that safe standing is going to be included at the value now, which we're really looking forward to. We're going to hear a tiny bit about the upbeats because they were with the first team over the course of the last couple of weeks. So Nathan's going to speak about that. We'll let you know where you can donate to our Upbeats Walk page. And of course, we will turn our attention to the away trip down to St. James Park. We are facing Exeter City. We've got a really special guest, John Beer, from the My New Football Club podcast and BBC Radio Devon, will tell us all about the Grecians. Then we'll hear from Nathan Jones about that game as well as we look ahead to the trip on Good Friday. But first of all, let's have a listen to what Nathan said he managed to fill his time with during the international break.
I know it wasn't your preferred choice, but have you been able to use the break in the league programme to our advantage?
Yeah, look, well, we'll see. But what we've been able to do is rest up a few, get one or two back, and then put some real good work into them, which was essential, as I said, especially in the early stages. And we've been here sort of 6-7 weeks. So to be able to have sort of 2-3 weeks to work with them, hopefully we'll see the fruition of that.
The break has seen four of our squad travel to play for their country. Two of those are academy graduates, Croy Anderson, who played in both Jamaica's games in the Nations League, and then Nathan Asimwe, selected in the squad for both games for Uganda. Aside from the inconvenience of the break, of course, how positive is that Croy and Nathan have got that recognition, and how important and positive can it be for the future of for the club that they get that experience?
Well, it is a real good experience, and you're always proud of when you get international players at whatever, you know, every club I've been at, we've had a real good selection of international players, and that's important, and we're proud of that. Yeah, I know it comes at an inconvenient time and so on, but you know the fundamentals of it is they're good enough to be selected for their country, and we're proud of that. And especially ones who come through the, you know, even Michael Hector and people that have been away. Actually, Maynard Brewer normally goes away on international, so there's a few internationals here, and we're proud of that, and we only want to add to that.
There we go. That's Nathan speaking to Terry earlier on today about the fact we obviously went into that international break. Tom, I guess not at the ideal time for us, considering, oh yeah, we're 8 games unbeaten now. Also, you have to take into account that we're not really going anywhere and nothing really happens. So it wouldn't have harmed us to play the game and get it out of the way and not have to worry about a Tuesday game coming towards the end of the season. But it does afford Nathan that little bit of extra time on the training ground with the chaps, which hopefully he would have utilised the ones that remained behind.
Yeah, and I think you said it on the last pod before the break, which seems like a lifetime ago now, but you and whoever we were on with pretty convinced that we're safe. I think it might have been Sue as well, which I know mathematically we're not, but realistically it's going to take some effort for us to get relegated from here. So if we're not going anywhere, then as you say, coming in the middle of a good run, it's not the end of the world. You know, if we were third or fourth bottom and scrapping for our lives and on a good run and trying to get ourselves out of it, and suddenly that was dented, it would obviously be a much more of an effect in a negative way. So I think for him, this is probably the first proper opportunity he's had for a lot of the side. Obviously, as he said, the likes of Caroy have travelled, but for a lot of the side, they probably are still here, and he's been able to hopefully work with them. He's also been able maybe to give them a bit of time off, and also possibly in that time start to think ahead to next season. Now, if we are safe, there's a lot of work he needs to do in terms of who he brings in, who he gets rid of, what the side looks like next year. So maybe he's been able to make a bit of a head start on that. And if he has, then obviously that's really encouraging as well. So, yeah, as I said, not just because Wales obviously lost, but just generally, I'm not a fan of the international breaks anyway. You know, it's about club football for me. But, you know, it's done now. And as I say, we can kind of see out the rest of this season and hopefully start to think about next year as soon as possible. And hopefully he's, as I say, had a bit of a head start in that.
Mm. You know, it says something, I guess, about the confidence that Nathan has in the side that he would have preferred to have played even without maybe a couple of the bigger names that left. So that the likes of Caroy obviously went off with Jamaica along with Michael Hector. I mean, there was a call up for Uganda for Nathan Asimwe as well, which is great for him. But the fact that Nathan wanted to play, I guess, shows that he's quite keen to continue that form that we've actually been on recently. Joe?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I don't understand for Wigan why they wanted to call it off. I mean, they're sat in the middle of the table. They're not going to go up. They're not going to go down. So, you know, why not just carry on and give some players an opportunity to shine? And that's what we would have had. Some of those fringe players would have had an opportunity to come in and show what they're about ahead of next season. And Nathan would have had a perfect opportunity to put them in. And if they didn't, you know, play to the standards he wants, it's not his fault. His hands are tied. So he's lost that opportunity. But we do have, you know, strength in depth now across a number of different departments, a lot of players coming back. So we're not anywhere near as weak as we were. And, you know, Nathan, he himself says he wants players to buy into the philosophy and take their chance when they get it. So it was a perfect opportunity for that to happen. But, you know, Wigan are obviously desperate for the 3 points and to avenge the home defeat. So they want every opportunity they can to come down and take a scalp.
Yeah, not many teams need to avenge a home defeat against us this season, of course. 76 Rufus says, evening on, after watching two England games this week, hopefully we actually get to have a team win one or two ourselves. Yeah, I mean, I have to admit, I didn't really, because I can't get into friendlies that much. So I flicked on a little bit of the Brazil game. I watched maybe the last half an hour of last night's game against Belgium as well. But I do find it a bit of a drag to have it taken away from us purely for friendlies. All the interest, obviously, like I said, I did watch a very brave Poland side march into Euro 2024 last night. We won't go on about that. Lucas has come to rub it in. It says, cheers from Brazil. Well, me and Lucas had a sort of a little bet as well before the England-Brazil game. So now I owe Lucas a Cheltenham Live mug. So I'm going to have to DM him and work out I'm going to get that over to him over in Brazil. But yeah, their win at Wembley means it. Obviously, we saw, because of that, we saw our players who went away. First of all, before we speak about the former Cheltenham players who played for England, Tom, like I say, I mean, in particular, Anderson and Asimwe there getting called up for Jamaica and Uganda and playing games. I mean, again, it goes to show, I guess, the level that some of our youngsters can play at. And what sort of experience can international football sort of give them that they could bring back to Cheltenham, I guess, is an interesting way to look at it. Because obviously they're good enough to play for those countries because they've been called up to them and they need players of our standard. But for us, we might see it as well. It's a chance for them to learn in a different environment and see how things are done in a slightly different way to how we do it.
Yeah, in the same way you would if you sent a player out on loan, I guess. And I can't think of any off the top of my head, but I'm not going to claim to know the Jamaican and Ugandan sides particularly well. But with some countries, you obviously get, I don't know, you get a particularly standout player that they might be playing with as well. And so there's the opportunity to learn from somebody that, obviously, in your club side, you'd imagine most of your players are going to be League One level as well. Might even argue some of our players aren't even quite at that level, but I wouldn't say there's many in our side that are sort of Premier League, for example. But there might be nations where you've got one or two standouts who just happen to play for a country who also can call up League One players because, you know, of the level of the nation as a whole. And so there's an opportunity there. So, I think it's a great opportunity for them. I think just all the little things, you know, for somebody like Kuroi, I don't know, you know, if he still lives at home, but obviously he's still very young, to go and travel abroad like that and to, you know, do all of that sort of stuff at that age. You know, there's plenty of people who don't get those sorts of opportunities. So given the awards that the Academy or the Community Trust have won recently and the good with the Academy, I feel like Charlton is all about building sort of well-rounded players. And I think, was it about Connor Wickham that Nathan Jones was talking about? You know, we like the person as well as the player. I think there's a big part of that with some managers. And so if these players are getting exposure to different cultures, to different places, getting to travel the world is just a benefit as well. They might come back feeling relaxed and, you know, energised by all of that. There are huge benefits to all of that sort of stuff. So I don't know, maybe we're looking too far into it, but I definitely think there are things that you can take. And I imagine if anybody is going to look at the positives on something like that, it would probably be somebody like Nathan Jones, who will try and focus those benefits and fuel them, definitely.
All hell let loose, says, is Kuroi still on his mum's passport? I mean, it would feel like a data protection breach if I knew the answer to that. I don't know. He's very young, isn't he? Obviously, still going out there. Andrew says, a friendly is a ridiculous name for a football match. Michael said, yeah, barely watched either. But, I mean, we did have Charlton representation, obviously, with Konsa and Gomez playing for England last night. I mean, it is nice when you see that sort of occurrence with our players, Joe, who came through our academy, getting out there, putting our name about. And it is a nice feeling, and I guess it can bode well for us and just show to any young sort of players in South East London, as we've said for many a year now, that if they see a pathway starting off at Charlton, yeah, look where it can take you.
Yeah, I mean, both those players are shining examples of what Steve Avery and the academy team have been doing for year after year after year, churning out great footballers, great products, and level-headed players as well, who aren't just about the big time Charlie atmosphere. Just want to get their head down and work and develop their game. So a lot of credit goes obviously to those guys, and you know, even, you know, taking those guys aside, you know, Conor Gallagher came and took his first chance on loan with us and is now at that standard. You know, we can't claim that we developed him all the way, but, you know, an integral part of his footballing journey as well. So it makes you feel proud. It also shows that we're probably a level below where we should be for all of the positives that Charlton have as a club. There's, I don't know how many League One clubs in their history would have been sat there watching two of their academy products putting on an England shirt over the years. And it does show, I think, just what this club really is about. And owners come and owners go, and managers come and managers go. But that identity of being a club rooted in its community and able to give opportunities to youngsters and let them go and show what they can do on the absolute biggest stage is something that all Charlton fans can be very, very proud of. And hopefully long may that continue.
Yeah, Andrew says that Steve Avery is a legend. Michael said he bumped into three Exeter fans at Wembley last night. Three nice guys. They're looking forward to welcome us down to St James Park on Good Friday, which we're looking forward to. Alan points out that we've got three home games after Exeter. It's funny because we had those three away games in a row relatively recently, and Nathan did moan quite a bit about that. But now it has sort of swings and roundabouts come back the other way. Before we go into season ticket chat, I mean, this is an interesting point from Spam Fish. I mean, the whole George Dobson situation, we know what that's been for a while now. He signed a pre-contract elsewhere. So the only way he comes back is if he gets out of that pre-contract, and how you would get out of that. I mean, I genuinely think it must be a transfer fee. We'd have to buy him back. So Spam says, at what point do you drop Dobson if we are safe and he is leaving? So, I mean, that does pose a big question there. Maybe it's slightly too early to be thinking about it, Tom, but towards the end of the season, you know, maybe Nathan will be looking at players who are more likely to be here next season. So will we find ourselves in a situation where George might not even play the last couple.
Yeah, I guess the question is whether the person who's going to play there is already here. Obviously, Connor Coventry is going to be involved, but you'd imagine if there's going to be somebody alongside him, is it somebody that's already here and is it somebody that's fit? If that's not the case, I feel like George Dobson deserves the opportunity to see out the rest of this season with us if he wants to, because I think we all know that the decision, or certainly I would get the sense that the decision to get rid of him is, well, certainly not one that most of the fans are happy with, and maybe not one that Nathan Jones is particularly happy with either, and maybe beyond his control, sadly. So I don't think Nathan Jones necessarily, despite that, is a man who's going to put that above everything else. If we need to win a game and that involves not playing George Dobson, he will drop George Dobson. And we've seen him do that with Alfie May already. But I feel like as fans, we want to see him. We feel like we deserve an opportunity to see him. I think it's the last home game, Shrewsbury. Be a shame if he didn't play some part in that as a kind of thank you for what he's done for us over the last few years, given the player he's been. But yeah, if the players are here that are going to start next season, and I've said this a lot this season already, my focus is Charlton Athletic. If the players are here that he thinks are going to form that midfield next season, then let's start blooding them now and let's see how they get on. I'm just not sure that that's quite right. I imagine, and my vibe is, or feeling is, that it will be Connor Coventry and maybe one other. And I don't know if that person is currently here. So if that's the case, why not keep playing George until that point comes? But yeah, it's a difficult one because I guess people, I see someone mentioning Terry Taylor in there, maybe not fully fit or not fit at all, I don't think, at the moment. And there's probably a few players like that. So there's obviously circumstances to be kind of worked out. But as far as I'm concerned as a fan, the more we see him at the moment, the better, because I just love seeing him. It's just it's a sad situation that he's probably going to go at the end of the year.
Mm. As far as I know, Terry Taylor is fit because he was playing those 21 games. I mean, Nathan gives very little away on squad fitness. You'll hear it later on. You've probably heard it every week, but when I played the clip preview in Exeter, he was asked for fitness and he just gives nothing away about anything really. But as far as I know, like, Terry Taylor is, so unless anyone can correct me on that. So Michael says, does anyone think Dobbo may make a U-turn now that Nathan Jones is our manager, or is it too late? So again, as far as we understand, that pre-contract with the Hungarian side is binding. So he has agreed to sign, otherwise there's no point in having them. So, you assume the only way he can get out of it is either another club buys him, or somehow he buys himself out of that deal, which I can't imagine would be very cheap. So, I don't claim to be an expert on contract law, but I know what the word contract means, and it does sound like it will be very difficult to get out of that. All hell let loose, as I can't see Backinson being the answer for next season. Well, obviously due to go back to Sheffield Wednesday as it stands. I can't remember what his contract situation is, but yeah, I'd be surprised if we sign him based on what we've seen so far. Evening to Scott, who joins us late. Right, season ticket prices have been released over the international break. You will all be absolutely delighted to find out that I've made an Excel spreadsheet as per normal, so we can look at the rise from last year to this year. So this is comparing the early bird prices from last year to this year in just a few of the categories. And I've also compared it to Millwall down the bottom as well. So worth noting as well that so these are the phase one prices. So they end at like 11:59 on May the 10th. So if you want to get at these prices, you've got to get in there soon. The bit that stood out for me is there's going to be 1,000 safe standing seats, which sounds like it's going to be in the covered end upper. Which I think will be absolutely brilliant. Obviously, pretty much everyone stands up there anyway, but hopefully that will really help with the atmosphere and be fantastic for everyone who sits up there. So yeah, well done the club for sort of committing to that. There's also a new section that sort of, I mean, they've talked about like fan zones outside and stuff, but the other thing that was interesting, apparently it's something that's been led by the Supporters Trust, a 16:20 section, which again they say is something that's been seen overseas before. So again, I'm not entirely sure how that will work, but it'd be interesting to see if it can have an effect on getting like-minded fans of that age group together, because you can imagine if you're sort of new and you've got a small group of friends you go chanting with, you want to see more people, and then you do your away games and stuff. So I could see that being a good thing if it works. But I mean, let's talk about the prices first. So you can see in zone one, which is the ridiculously expensive prices in the middle of the West Stand and the Alan Kirbishley stands, it's only gone up by a fiver, but it has gone up from £625 to £630 for adults, £475 to £480 for the under 21s, over 65s. Under 18s have stuck at £145, Under-11s are stuck at 60. There's also the £5 rise for students as well, which has gone from £235 to £240. The Zone 2, which is sort of the middling zone, so that's the outer sections of the two side stands and the upper tier of the covered end, has gone up by nearly 6%. So that's gone up from £425 to £450 for adults, £320 to £340 for under-21s. That's over 6% rise. And again, for 18s and 21 and 11s, it's stayed at 130 or 60. It's gone up 205 to 225 for students, which is quite a large price rise. And then the cheaper ones, so the bottom tier of the covered end and in the family quadrant, which is the one between the Alan Kirbishley stand and the covered end. For adults, it's gone up to 310 from 285. From the under-21s over 65s, it's gone from 215 to 235, which is nearly over a 9% increase. And again, it stayed at 125 for under-18s. Under-11s are free with a adult, so every additional one you have to pay £30. So that's not too bad at all. Tom, I'll go on the prices first before we compare it to Millwall. Obviously, it depends where you sit. How has it affected you? Is it a price rise that would put you off?
I was thinking about this earlier today. So I sit in North Lower, which I think is Zone 3. So technically the biggest increase, but also the cheapest ticket. And I sat there before it became the really cheap area. So I then benefited from the fact that I sat there anyway. My big feeling is with season tickets, there's no real way, I don't think, of doing this. You can't really assess whether it's worth it until the end of the season. I'd argue this season, £285 is ridiculous. If I'd have known what had happened, I wouldn't have paid £20 for this year's season ticket. But there's no way they can do it on a pay what you like at the end of the season, because there's people are just going to take the mick. But next year, if we get promoted and we romp to the League One title, 310's a steal, particularly if they then say, well, we're going to freeze it for anybody who bought in the early bird for the Championship or whatever. So it's really hard to judge. I still feel like, so I'm paying 310, I think, based on that. Still very cheap for, I mean, it's expensive for some people and cheap for others. So, you know, I'm not talking about salaries or what people have got in terms of money, but in terms of comparing to other teams in this division, it seems like a very cheap per game price, I would say. Compared to the away tickets I pay, it's probably a lot cheaper. I think that's very reasonable. I'm pretty sure Joe sits at Zone 1, so Mike see this all completely differently because his season ticket's twice the price of mine. So it's a complete contrast. But it's really difficult to judge whether it's worth it or not because, as I say, it depends what you go to football for. And if you go to football for good football and for winning games, you'd argue that that is an absolute rip-off. But if you go to spend time with your mates and have a beer and socialise, then it's probably not. So it's hard to judge, really. But I think, look, there's not much of an increase, I guess just maybe inflation. And obviously, I think was it the second phase of pricing? It's pretty much the same as that. I think that's pretty good, really. I don't think there's too much to argue about, although I'm sure some people will. And as I say, I'm at the lower end of the prices, so it's very easy for me to say that. So it's probably worth asking the same question to Joe because he'll have a different perspective, and that's totally fair enough.
Well, yeah, I've got two questions for Joe, obviously one of which is the same question. The second of which is, why on earth do you pay that amount of money for League One football? Because so you sit in League One, so you paid £625 this season. I don't know if you got Valley Gold, which I don't know if that takes a little bit off. And you're going to pay £630 for this season.
Don't have Valley Gold because I can't afford it, as well as the season ticket. is the honest answer there. So look, I'm in Zone 1. I got those seats when that was my first season ticket. It's now going to be my 32nd season ticket in that same seat. So for me, it's an absolute 31st. Yeah. So for me, it's one of those things. I've always sat there. That's been my seat. And we got those literally the first season the stand opened. For me, my dad and my son, it's £1,200 for a season of League One football. And the problem with the pricing for me is they handcuff themselves at the start of the season. So if we're on a good run and we're looking like we're going to get promoted and you're going to want to drive some people into the stadium to get a taste of that atmosphere, you can't really do anything with the pricing of the season tickets because per game I'm paying £27.40 a game. So you can't have a price that's lower than that in my area. And you can't sell them really in the East Stand lower than that because people will buy them and then sit in other seats and in the more sort of premium zone. So that hampers them in terms of attracting new fans, and that will always be the case. And the second thing is there's no real reward for loyalty for those that do trade up. And why would you trade up from zone two to zone one? And if you move across an aisle, you're paying an extra £200. How does that make any sense for anyone to do? We've got a group of us that all sit together. You know, I love where I sit, and but I don't think it's worth it. And you go from the club saying, oh yeah, we've got one of the most affordable tickets in the league, but we've also got probably the least affordable ticket in the league. So you go literally from one end of the spectrum to the other. And the club have carried on with this philosophy that was thought up by Roland to try and drive some revenue up. And no one's had the wherewithal to sit down and really look at the way in which we're trying to incentivize season tickets, incentivize new fans in at a pricing level. And I know that, you know, you do get people who tune in sometimes who are involved in some of those circles who can maybe help with some of these decisions. But it seems to be that it's just copy and paste and price goes up. And we know that what happened. Phase two pricing will come out after this one, after the early bird. And next season, that will be the price that we have to pay. So they'll announce your season ticket price in May for next season. And probably for me, I'm going to be edging up towards £650. And it was £400 like 6 or 7 seasons ago. So the rate of inflation on my ticket is exceptional. Mm-hmm. Not only is it going up and up, they've increased the bands as well. So I'd love the club to actually sit down and engage with fans on this subject and try and find a way to get more people into the stadium, because that's what drives their revenues more than trying to squeeze £5 or £20 out of every fan that's in their seat.
Yeah, there we go. I'm just on the bottom of the screen there. You can see I've compared it to Millwall's. So just on the adult one. So Millwall's highest adult season ticket is £475. So obviously much lower than our highest, which is £630. Slightly more than our zone two tickets, but then if you look at their lowest tickets, they've got a 370 adult in the family section, but I mean we've got 380. They've got 380 in most sections where most people can buy, because obviously in the family section you've got to have a kid. So yeah, when you compare our prices to Millwall, especially obviously a championship club, it is quite enlightening. They've got obviously slightly different groupings in terms of the under 18s and whatnot. So in some cases you win, in some cases you lose. Obviously you have to go and watch Millwall, so you lose. But the one thing I did notice is they don't have student tickets at Millwall. Which I'm sure there's a joke there to be made about not being clever enough or something, but I will not be making that joke. I mean, just quickly, Tom, the safe standing, I'm really excited to see that. I think it looks great when you see that at other grounds. So yeah, I think that'll be excellent.
Yeah, they've talked about it for a little while, haven't they? And it sounded like it was coming. I'm surprised it's coming as quickly as it has, but I'm the same. I think it's a good thing. I know a few other clubs have done it. I haven't had an opportunity to actually stand anywhere, I don't think, that's had it yet. But when you see it, it looks great. Obviously, I don't know if it can change the numbers up there. I guess not, because you technically have a seat with it. But if everybody's standing, and if that encourages people to move back up there, because I know numbers have dwindled a little bit in recent seasons, and rightly so, based on what we've been served up, then yeah, then that's great. Let's get people up there. It's going to obviously, there's going to be a downside in that people who do like to sit up there, and I imagine it's few and far between because most people stand, may have to move. But if you can get everybody up there in one place and as a result move people who stand elsewhere, who inconvenience people, then that makes sense as well. So yeah, it's always a challenge, I find, when you go to away games and you've got people standing, people sitting, and it's a constant battle between the two, and seems to happen everywhere. But here, if you've got a place that's okay for standing and a place that isn't, it's very clear kind of what you do. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what it does to the atmosphere, because obviously that's where the majority of it's generated anyway. But yeah, I'm sure the people that do stand, sit up there currently will be looking forward to testing that out. And for those people who are coming maybe as day trippers every now and again, people in London or whatever, or you know, if I'm bringing mates along for a game, maybe we'll go up there for a game instead if there's space or whatever. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it affects games and the atmosphere.
Right, Joseph said, I think it's great value minus the beer and food for a day out with my son. The club are encouraging us to bring our children with us. And yeah, like I say, especially in the family section, we can get the under 11 ticket free. That's certainly good. Michael said, it's hard to put a value on this thing of ours. It's both worthless and priceless. Yeah, I mean, that means the same thing effectively, doesn't it? But yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, certainly feels worthless sometimes after home games. Michael says the safe standing would have been a bit better if it was at the lower end of the covered end, the lower covered end. Everyone stands up at the back anyway. Paul said it should have been the whole of H and J blocks, not the last eight rows, but the whole of the upper. Paul says it's important for the club to engage with teens, but there is a danger that they alienate other fans. I hope the club does all right by those season ticket holders who've lost their seats to safe standing. Yeah, that'll be interesting exactly how that works out. Right, we're going to turn our attention to Exeter shortly, but I did say, just want to highlight something that Nathan spoke about earlier on today, which is the fact that they had the Upbeats join them with the first team for training over the international break.
One thing that happened during the week was you got a visit from the Upbeats to Sparrows Lanes for a training session for World Down Syndrome Day. I'm guessing that put a smile on everybody's face. And did they give you a few tips on what to do?
Well, it didn't put that much a smile. We lost a five-a-side against them, so we were a bit miffed with that. But no, look, it was great to see them. They said they do great work in the community and everything. They're a big part of everything we do here at Sparrows Lane. And as I said, it just goes to show what strength we have here and the community strength we have here at this football club, which we are now, but we've always been proud of here at Charlton. So it's great to see them. Yeah, they did put a smile on their face. You know, they were delighted to be here. And it was good to see them because they brought a real energy to the place.
There we go. Nathan couldn't hide his disappointment at the fact that the side were beaten in the end. he took that too competitively. He was a bit miffed, he said. But yeah, great to see the Upbeats down there. Obviously, the Upbeats walk is coming up at the end of the season, last home game against Shrewsbury. Me and Ben have already signed up. There's a Charlton Live team. I'll put the link on our social media shortly. If you guys could donate towards us for the Upbeats, that would be great. And obviously, we've got to say massive congratulations to Jason and everyone at the Community Trust for winning the EFL League One Community Club of the Year Award, which is a massive honour and very well deserved. Right, we're going to have a quick break here on Charlton Live, the big match preview. When we come back, we will turn our attention to Good Friday's trip down to Exeter City. Thinking about a new kitchen or bathroom? Find professional, independent local installers with free home surveys, itemised quotes and protected payments, trading standards approved contracts and workmanship warranties. The British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom, Bathroom Installations accredits installers to ensure they are police checked, fully insured and experienced. Take the risk out of home improvement. Visit bikbbi.org.uk.
Hello fellow addicts, I'm so excited to tell you all about our micropub, The River Ale House. The River Ale House is based in East Greenwich. It has 6 Pub of the Year awards, an ever-changing selection of amazing beer. It's owned by Charlton fans, walkable to the ground in just 20 minutes with buses that go direct to the Valley too. If your matchday routine includes a drink with your friends, you must join your fellow addicts in the river. See you soon.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. We just heard the ads there, including hearing from the South East London Pub of the Year, the River Ale House. So well done, Joe, for that. Now it's time to turn our attention to the Good Friday game down at Exeter City. Now, of course, we always get a guest in from an opposition podcast. There is a podcast out there called the Mayanu Football Club podcast, which is very, very loosely based around Exeter City, or more really based about the personal life of this man here. This is John Beer, who joins us, Exeter City fan, also covers the club for BBC Radio Devon as well. John, great to have you on. How are you?
Thanks for having me. Yeah, no, I'm brilliant. A little bit more comfortable now that our season's taken a little bit of an upwards turn. But yeah, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I mean, before we get into my new football club, I mean, our listeners will remember we had David Earl on last season to talk about the show, but I mean, it's gone from strength to strength in that time and further and further away from Exeter City, actually, but it's a great listen. But let's talk about the Grecians first. I mean, it's been a really bizarre season, which I have sort of lived vicariously through you and David. Started off incredibly well. I think you were top after eight games. And then you went on what sounded like quite an impressive winless run, a 13-game winless run, which was only beaten by one side, which was us, when we went 16 games. You've picked up a little bit since then. I mean, how do you describe how this season's gone for you guys?
Yeah, it's been really topsy-turvy, as you said there. We started the season thinking, wow, we've got a real squad here. And then we found out that maybe we were lacking a little bit in the striker department. You know, I think we had a striker until Sonny Cox came in. I don't think we had a striker with more than one goal. So like you said, had a topsy-turvy season. That 13 game, I think it might have even been more than that, where we didn't win was a really weird time for the club, because it'd been the first time in years that we hadn't actually been all right. It'd been the first time we were being pretty dire. We were lucky for the last sort of 3-4 years we've been brilliant under Matt and now Gary Caldwell. We'd actually been good, but this was the first time we actually had a little bit of something to worry about, maybe. But I mean, if you listen to our pod, I was always pretty confident that he would turn it around. Having known him personally, I can see how good of a coach and manager he is. Sometimes results don't go for you. You've got to understand that at Exeter City, we don't have the biggest budget. We're having to do sort of Moneyball style transfers, like Reece Cole is a perfect example. But yeah, I'm happy that we've turned it around. I was fully confident that he would, but there was times where maybe I was doubting myself a little bit.
You mentioned the strikers briefly there, John. I think you're one of the lowest scorers in the league. What's that down to? Is it the style of play? Is it players not taking chances? Is it just bad luck? What's the reason behind that? Because I think most of the teams around us and you, we're pretty similar, are sort of 40, 50 goals, and you're down at like 30-something, I think.
Yeah, it's actually a really good question. Something that we haven't really been able to put our finger on all season. I think the main problem was we haven't had an out-and-out number nine until Mo Issa came in January. I think we were playing James Scott up front, who was sort of more of a winger traditionally, a left-sided winger. Then we had sort of Admiral Muskwe come in from Luton, who was an out-and-out nine, but got injured really early on. And then when he came back, wasn't quite what we needed. I think the style of play does suit us. We just haven't had that right person in the right place. We seem to be able to work the ball into the right area, get the ball into the box, into some dangerous positions, but just not able to have someone there to tap it home. But since Sonny Cox has started and come back off loan, he's been a real bright spark and someone who I can see sort of glimpses of Ollie Watkins in, what we had before, real tenacity, not afraid to make mistakes, will shoot from anywhere, which is something we didn't have before. So, I think up until Sonny Cox started scoring, just not having someone who was naturally in the right place at the right time. But the build-up play before that has always been great. We've got some real good creators, Tom Carroll, Reece Cole, Ryan Woods. We've got some real good technical players, just struggling to get someone in that actual position to score.
We've sort of said in Cheltenham Live a number of times that League One's a bit of a weaker proposition than it has been traditionally, and obviously quite underwhelmed with our season. You're in the same sort of part of the table as us, and although we won 4-1 in reverse fixture, it was very, very close until the sending off, and that really did change the game. So are you underwhelmed with your season overall? Are you pretty chuffed? Like, how do you sort of rate where you guys are at the minute?
Yeah, see, I get a lot of stick about this on Twitter. I'm chuffed. If we stay in League One, for me, that's a success for now. We've just had a really tricky period where we've had an overhaul of academy players. So we lost Archie Collins, Josh Key, Joel Randall, Jack Sparks, all of these really good academy prospects that we had come through, which helped us get promoted from League Two, then kept us in League One pretty comfortably last season. So we're in this weird period where we're having to rely on players that might not be as good that we... The brilliance of Exeter City is we pay these players not a lot because they're academy prospects, so they come through and we get them on the cheap, right? But to replace Archie Collins or Josh Key is really expensive, so we can't bring in players of that same calibre. So we're really struggling in that transitional period right now until we get some more academy products through. But I'm completely happy with how our season's gone. If we stay up, it's a success. We're just trying to build, keep ourselves in this division. I said at the start of the season, the second season in League One's always your hardest because your players get pinched and then you've got to try and maintain what you did last season. But no, I'm over the moon. And like I said, if we stay up, it'll be a successful season and something with Gary and Marcus's recruitment strategy we can really build on for next season.
Quick questions coming from the chat. All Hell Let Loose says, who do Charlton need to worry about on Friday from your side?
Yeah, so it's a really good question. At the moment, we've got a lot of real threats. I think if Reece Cole's fit, he'll be the man to look out for. I mean, how he was playing in the eighth tier of football last season, I don't know. He must have been ridiculous. I think he was a PE teacher as well for parts of last year. So he is absolutely superb. I think someone who fell out of love with football, but someone we've managed to sort of reinstate their love for football, if you like. I'd look out for Sonny Cox if he starts. Again, we're a bit mix and match at the moment. We don't really have a solid starting 11 or consistent starting 11. So Sonny Cox, keep an eye out for him. He's a youngster that I think can really go on to do big things. So, like I said before, similar to Ollie Watkins. And we've got a new young chap from Halifax, I believe we signed him from in January, Milenik Ali, who's frighteningly quick. Like, keep your eyes out for those three.
Excellent. I just want to understand a little bit more about how Exeter City's run as well. So I think it was this year you've done, is it 20 years of fan ownership now? I mean, so you yourself have been a trustee. I mean, what challenges does the way that Exeter City is owned sort of bring for a club trying to compete at League One level with the likes of, you know, us and big clubs who actually do better than us as well?
Yeah, some really obvious challenges, which are obviously financial challenges. You know, we don't have a rich businessman putting money in. We survive solely off selling academy products, ticket sales, that kind of thing. So naturally, we're going to have one of the smallest budgets in the division. I think we're second smallest this season. So, yeah, I think that those are the main challenges. But for me, there's way more benefits than challenges. I would rather be fan-owned, be in League Two, be wherever we are, fan owned with full control of our football club, knowing that it's never going to spend beyond its means, keep itself in a place where you'll always have a football team to support. I mean, a lot of people, or some people, I should say, would rather have somebody come in and just splash the cash. I think Exeter City is a real opportunity for a business person to come in and really take it to the next level. It's got no debt. In fact, it's got money in the bank, which is not what can be said for most clubs in the Football League. So, it would be an interesting proposition for somebody to take on. But for me personally, I would always have it fan-owned the way it is. Even if it means we have to stay where we are forever, I'd rather it be like that because it's such a special club. But it's, you know, like you said, the challenges are competing with the likes of yourselves, Derby, you know, the real big signs in the division who can sort of splash the cash, if you like.
Yeah, it's painful for us that we are seen as the big club, but I think we're below you, aren't we? It's 15th versus 16th on Good Friday. Massive, massive League One contest, that one. Just fine. I want to talk my new football club. I'm a big fan of the pod. It's been a bit of a roller coaster this season, obviously with the way it started off so well and David getting carried away about playoffs and you were sort of trying to keep everyone calm. But then as the season's rolled on, you know, you guys were sticking up, I'd say, for Gary a little bit. Now you're out of the woods. I mean, you've gone on a bit of a change in direction, and now we're hearing about the way you recognise your housemates and all that, which anyone who listens I can even say it on our show. But tell us about working with David Earl and how that pod's come about and what you enjoy about very loosely speaking about Exeter City with a wide audience.
Yeah, I mean, firstly, he's super, super talented. Someone like him is so naturally funny. It's like a pleasure to work with. He just makes you laugh every 10 seconds. He's brilliant. His football knowledge winds me up slightly, especially lower league, but I mean, you know, not everyone supports lower league clubs like I do or like we do. But the pod was really came around from a picture that came around, what was circling around Twitter, of me working for BBC Radio Devon, and David sort of had at the same time had put a tweet out saying, oh, we want someone that knows actually something about Exeter City to come on. And he had his DMs and replies flooded with my at. He asked me, I came on, it was meant to be a one-off thing, and then I've done every episode since. And when Joe sort of took a step back because he was busy, he asked me to be co-host, and it was just gone from strength to strength. I think we're something like 16th in the UK for football, which is ridiculous when you really think about it. But yeah, I mean, it's a pleasure to work with him. We do loads of pods every week. You get some amazing guests on. And yeah, it's something I never thought I'd do. I didn't think I'd ever do podcasting, but it's something I found that I really love probably more than sports broadcasting. So, well, being on the radio. So yeah, no, it's great. And if anyone wants to listen, I definitely recommend it.
Yeah, I'd recommend it as well, if only to hear Alfie's album that he's bringing out, which I'm really looking forward to as well, with songs all about John and what he gets up to in his private life. John, it's been a pleasure having you on. I look forward to you've got an episode out this week, which I haven't listened to yet, so I look forward to listening to that tomorrow. And yeah, good luck for the rest of the season.
Cheers, no worries. Thank you very much, chaps. Thanks for having me. See ya.
There we go. That's John Beer from My New Football Club podcast and BBC Radio Devon. He is a serious broadcaster as well, but that podcast is absolutely excellent. I definitely recommend that you guys check it out. They don't talk about football much, but it is very funny. So I definitely recommend it. Right, let's look ahead to the game with Exeter City. From our point of view, Nathan Jones was asked to look ahead to the game by Terry, as per always, and starts off with something resembling team news.
Before the break, and with the players away now, they all come back in a good state of health. I know before the break we had Lloyd-Jones, who'd been missing due to injury. Has the break enabled him to come back into contention?
Well, he's closer to where he was, and Chuksaniki and people like that, they're all closer than what they were, so that's the good thing. We have used it, you know, that's been the positive for it. We've been allowed, one, be able to get some good work into them, and two, being able to get a few people back.
Yeah, Chuksaniki and Kane Ramsey were the two I was also going to ask about. Are they closer to come?
Yeah, both, I said exactly the same as you said. They're both really close, you know, much closer than what they were before the break, so the squad's in a lot healthier position.
Cool. We've got Exeter City up next, a trip down to Devon. A chance to leapfrog them in the table as well and extend our own game unbeaten run. But we're against a side that bounced back from a poor run, a five-game winless run. Now they've got back-to-back wins. So they'll be a confident opponent.
Absolutely, but like if we take every game on its merits, we know that every game's a different challenge. They're well drilled, well coached. Always a tough place to go, good place to go. I usually enjoy time down there in terms of the city and so on. But it's a tough game, and we know that. But we just want to get points for us. We're not worried if we leapfrog or whatever. All we want to do is make sure we keep this run going, get to the level of performance that we want, because we dipped slightly below it at Fleetwood, albeit in horrific conditions. So we want to get back now to the levels that we were showing pre-Fleetwood.
And you'll be backed by, again, another sellout Valley trip, away crowd. It's inspiring, isn't it?
They're brilliant. They're just brilliant. They're just great. They're positive. The energy they bring, however they are just magnificent. And we're delighted. We expect it. And then they've had 2 week break because they've had seven away games since this will be my 10th game, and there's seven away games. So they've been at every game. They've been vocal. They've driven the team on. It'd be magnificent. So we are coming to expect that now, but we don't take that for granted.
There we go. That's Nathan ending there, speaking about obviously the excellent away support. And as pointed out by Scott there, says it's about 1,400 going. It's sold out, isn't it, in the away end again down there. We've sold out so many away games this season. And, you know, as plenty of people pointed out on social media when it was announced that we've sold out. I mean, this is, with all due respect, I mean, it's not a massive game for us. But, you know, it's Good Friday. Exeter is a great place to go down to. If you're going down there, get down there early and explore and find the pubs and the whatever else you like to look at in away cities as well, and it will be a great atmosphere. We need to pick up a little bit in terms of performance, as Nathan mentioned there, and he did reiterate, albeit on a pretty bad pitch. We didn't play very well at Fleetwood, Tom. We didn't play particularly well against Carlisle either in stages when we beat them 3-2 at the Valley. So if we are safe, which I keep reiterating, I think we are. We need to lay groundwork, as we always say at this time. But actually, performance wise, we need to make sure we keep those levels up for many reasons between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, and I don't think Nathan Jones is not a manager. I don't think that's going to let people get complacent at all. So I don't feel like it's complacency. And if it is, he will find that out, and I'm sure he will make it clear that that's not acceptable. Obviously, by your very nature of potentially being safe, I understand that players are. You know, you're getting towards the end of a busy season and all that sort of stuff, but he will try and keep the levels up. And we're against teams that are scrapping for their lives. Obviously, as we know, Fleetwood, the playing surface wasn't quite what we would have wanted to be able to play our football. Carlisle, again, a team, I say scrapping for their lives. They're probably gone, but maybe not. But we struggled up there earlier in the season as well. So Yeah, I don't read too much into it. You go through phases of playing well and not. I think the important thing is you're still picking up results, whether they be wins or draws. But yeah, you're right. You don't want the season to peter out. You want to finish on a positive, because I know, and I think I spoke about this a few weeks ago, I know we've recently had our fingers burnt with that. You know, if you think under Adkins, when he was obviously wanting us to go and kick on and then we didn't, and that's been the sort of pattern of a few seasons now. But I think under Nathan Jones, there's the opportunity here now to build something, and that could start straight away, as I say, particularly if he's had the international break to start planning ahead for next year as well. So, yeah, you don't want it to fizzle out. There's also the things like, you know, lots and lots of people will make up their mind about season tickets immediately. They're either going to renew or they're not, irrespective of what happens. But if people are sort of on the fence and they're thinking, oh, maybe I will, maybe I'm not, if you come to a game towards the end of the season and you see us win 4-0, it's going to make a big difference, as opposed to if you come and see a boring 0-0. So, yeah, it's you don't want the season to peter out, of course, just as fans, as I said earlier, when we were talking about value for money. I want to see a couple of good games still with the remainder that we've got. So, yeah, that's and if nothing else, I think Nathan Jones, and I said this when he first came in, all he can do is finish as high as it's possible to do. We're not going to go up. We're probably now not going to go down. So his aim is just to get as high as he can. And obviously a win will help that.
Yeah, I mean, Sam says, I feel that we need another 6 points to definitely secure our place in League One. Although, like I keep saying, I really don't think it'll be that high. And we're on 45 currently. I'd be shocked if we needed more than about 46, 47. But we'll see how that plays out. In terms of team news, I'm putting in the chat. So it's a conversation I feel like we have before every game. Joseph says he'd like to see Ashley come in now in goal. I mean, might have done better with a goal, didn't against Fleetwood. Obviously, he had that howler a couple of weeks ago against Northampton away. Are you in the mood to chop and change, Joe? At some point, it might happen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not that fussed really between the two of them. I think I'd be disappointed coming into next season if either of them were our first choice after this season. I don't think that either of them have stood up enough to be to say that they're going to be a goalkeeper that's going to lead us in a promotion charge, which is fine. But we need to go and probably find someone a little bit better. In terms of changes, I just wanted him to settle on a team that thinks he's going to go and win a few games. And Exeter, for me, it's an opportunity to do the double over someone. We've got three opportunities of that in the last run of games. And can you imagine going through an entire League One season without doing the double over somebody? I mean, that's just a shocking indictment of your year. So let's get Alfie, you know, the opportunity to secure that golden boot. Let's have, you know, a real sign of passion, a real building block. And for me, the season is over, but next season starts now. This is the opportunity to really build and build and build and get that momentum. And if you're looking to attract players in the summer, there's nothing that's going to help you more than an absolute sterling run of games going towards the end of the season and showing that there's some real momentum here under Nathan Jones going into next season.
Yeah, I'll just give you a couple of stats ahead of the game. So Exeter are unbeaten in their last three, including winning their last two games. Only lost one in the last five. They've only lost two of their last 10 home league games as well. So not doing too bad at St James Park. I mean, the one that still stands out for me is the fact that we've kept one clean sheet in 27 league games now. I mean, all hell let loose, put in the chat saying, with some of our comical defending this season, should we be looking at major personnel changes to our defenders for next season? He says, if so, is Terrell Thomas the answer? So, I mean, the question's been put to you, Tom. Is Terrell part of the side next season for you? I think it's probably likely to be part of the side Friday.
I was going to say, if Terrell Thomas is the answer, I'm not sure what the question is, to be totally honest. But I think
it's
I'm pretty...
Sanusa's best player.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I think I'm pretty consistent in saying that I like consistency across that back five. And for this season, I think that is the players we've got. A bit like Joe with the goalkeepers, I can't think of many of the defenders that if we didn't have them starting next season, I'd be that disappointed with. I know Lloyd-Jones had a bit of a dip recently, but I think overall, I think I'm happy with him. And I think the fullbacks, certainly towards the end of the season, Eden and Watson have impressed. And a couple that are out injured as well have looked okay. So I think that's okay there, but I think the centre-backs and the goalkeeper, that it's so crucial that the communication between them, the understanding between them is tightening, and that's why I call for consistency. But like Joe, I'm not sure Eisted or Maynard Brewer necessarily sort of garners that leadership quality at the back, and I'm not sure any of the players, particularly in front of them, have done too well either. So I don't think Terrell Thomas is the answer for a team that want to, you know, boss League One next season, but maybe okay as a player to bring off the bench. And I think that's the same with a lot of these players, really. They're probably good squad players. Some of them, not at all, but some of them probably good squad players, but very few of them probably starting 11 next year, I think.
Yeah, I mean, Andrew says Terrell Thomas's only howlers are when he tries to join the attack. I can't remember him costing us a goal. That's what Andrew says. I mean, yeah, he's not the best with the ball at his feet. I think that's certainly fair to say. And, you know, overall, is that his job? Not particularly, but do we need someone who can play the ball out a bit better? Maybe. I mean, they're all questions. I mean, Heck is good at playing the ball out on the whole, but then obviously he has had those howlers. So it's a difficult one. And Michael's pointed out that we did do the double over Cheltenham this season, which is correct, because we beat them home and away, including my first away win in 11 months. Peter says, I agree with Joe, we need to spend money on a new goalkeeper. Neither Ashley or Harry Eisted are good enough for a top two team. David says we should bring back Pope. I think he's busy at the moment, but we'll see. Michael would like to see Dylan Phillips come back, which is an option. Sam says we've got to keep Carnu and May up front. Keep Dobbo as captain, or offer it to someone else, see who is able to lead the squad. Yeah, that's an interesting point, because we have seen Lloyd Jones wear the captain armband a couple of times recently, if I remember correctly. Ian reckons that promotion teams do have the spine that we lack, definitely. I mean, one question I've just written down on Team News is, would we maybe find a chance for Kazenga Luwalua to start the game on Friday, Joe? Could you see a way that could happen? I mean, I don't think he would fit in the 3-5-2 as the wing back. So I think the only way that happens is if we change format. I could be wrong. Maybe he can do the defensive side that I'm not aware of, but I don't think that's the case.
Yeah, and I know I don't think he's going to be chasing back too aggressively. It'll be a bit like having a Blackett Taylor, but without the pace. If he needed it potentially at his stage of his career. I mean, Nathan Jones said he could put him on the moon for a year and then drop him in and he'll do some minutes. So it's going to take a long way from being able to do a few minutes to be able to start a game, although he has had a couple of weeks training. I think for players like Luwalua, they're great assets to have in and around the squad. But again, my question would be, is he going to be part of the solution next season? Is it just a short term to tide us over until the end of this season? And if it is just short term, then let's use him as a short-term player and not invest the minutes into him in terms of at the expense of somebody else, unless he's got a system that he wants to try that Luwalua opens up for him that is completely different and maybe at the tip of a diamond, say. Then, I think there's a bit more of an argument. But for me, I'd rather be getting the minutes into the likes of Carnu and even Tyrese, who hopefully will be part of the squad next season and really pushing on to claim a starting berth and to get their contracts, or in the case of Tyrese, get a contract extension if he wants it.
Yeah, Dan Windham's just pointed out he'd like the Lincoln goalkeeper, Lucas Jensen. Lincoln are absolutely flying at this moment in time as well. Paul Davenport says Nicky Pope is busy counting his money. Well, that's Rich from Paul after he went in hospitality up at Fleetwood, of course. All hell let loose there. Maybe do we want to see a bit more of Ness to see if he can stay next season? Also asked the question... about Hector, says he can't see him staying next season. Adoy says Lucas Jensen from Lincoln and Sarpong. We would do from Fleetwood are two that we should be looking back. Obviously, we had Brendan, didn't we, before we let him go, and it didn't turn out that way. Just finally then, for those travelling fans, Tom, I mean, it's going to be a good day with good numbers down there, and it just shows like that there is a fan base amongst us. You know, hopefully at some point we'll start turning up in more numbers at home. But we do travel really well, and people will be enjoying their day on Good Friday, and hopefully the lads can send them back happy.
Well, also hopefully they make it. And the reason I'm not going this year is because I tried to get to Bristol Rovers last Good Friday and failed, so got stuck on the coach on the M25. So yeah, that was a sad day, but I hope they make it this year. And whilst I'm not bitter about that or the fact that all the away games I went to were over Christmas under Appleton, where we lost pretty much every single one, I do hope they have a good time. I hope they enjoy it. I'll be joining the away fans for the Cambridge game. So that, again, just because I get a lift there by my mum. So that always helps. So, yeah, fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. I think our away support for, what, 3-4 years now has been absolutely sensational. And, yeah, I don't see that dropping anytime soon. It's, you see the same people every week, which is amazing. And, yeah, fair play to every single one going, because it's a long, old trip.
Excellent stuff. Right, we've run out of time on this week's big match preview. We might come back on Saturday. I ain't decided yet, and I haven't actually asked anyone. All hell let loose, says it's Tom on his mum's passport, which is very good. I ain't really decided about Saturday. We don't normally do a show in between the games on Easter, but at the same time, I might be a bit of a loose end on Saturday. So I'll see. I'll let you know via social media if I've got time to do maybe a short little show to look back at the game against Exeter City. And, of course, ahead to Easter Monday's home game with Stevenage. I think the women are at the Valley on Sunday as well. So maybe you can check that one out as well. I might go to that game as well. Right. As I say, we've run out of time. Massive thanks to everyone who's joined us live on YouTube this evening. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. Massive thanks to John Beer from My New Football Club. He was an excellent guest earlier on. Big thanks to Tom and to Joe for joining me this week.
Cheers, lads.
Yeah, cheers.
So good to speak to the pair of you. I'm Louis Mendes. It has been Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Installation. We might be back on Saturday. If not, we'll be back next Thursday. I'll let you know.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.